it's great. Oh, you know, I wanted to just mention, we were talking about the heart and I know Meridian, you had your little valve thing. And my niece, Nicole, and their little son, Hudson, are in Philadelphia this morning with mom and dad and family. And I think he's 2 years old. And he is having his fourth or third heart operation.
My goodness.
Yeah. He was born with like part of the heart just totally not there. And they knew it before because of the, you know, the test. So they were already prepared. And the day after he was born, they had the first operation. Can you imagine?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And then I guess I think about maybe 6 months or a year later, they had to do the second one because this is just a process and there's a whole name for this thing. And it's amazing the work that these people can do. And then they're doing their third one this morning. So if you all want to send peace, love, and hippie beats to Hudson.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can find. Just send some good vibes up there.
Yeah.
Hudson's, and I'm sure the angels are working with him. I think he'll be fine. Isn't it amazing they can do that? Just.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Just amazing. And it's the support that they've had has just been incredible. There's a whole group of pilots that work with these little kids. And again, I used to know the name for this syndrome or this, you know, this thing. And they get up and they fly Nicole and the baby and the family up on a private jet, of course, for no cost. Every time she has to go to make it more. Isn't that cool? She's amazing.
Yes.
What people do out there to help each other. This is. So a lot of good things going on in the world, you know, and God bless Hudson.
Yes.
Man. But the heart is not a pump, so he's going to be fine, right? Once he gets that thing just doing whatever it's going to do, he'll be fine. I'm sure. Well, let's go here to more emails. Let's see. What do you guys think about being too hot during sleep? Well, the room is reasonably cool. Could it be a need to detox? I'm not sweaty enough, or maybe not sweaty enough during the day. That said, it's unhelpful for me to sleep with an ice pack on me if I need to sweat. Oh, would it be unhelpful if I need to sweat? Are there any drawbacks to niacin? Does it help with lowering sugar craving? I like the flush. I can start with 500 to 1,000 milligrams after not taking it for a while, but totally stop after building up 2,000 milligrams. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. So here's Matt. He's just so hot. Can't even sleep. Could it be that he needs to detox, you guys?
Well, I've been told that one of the big things about night sweats is it's one of the ways our body uses to get rid of low levels of infection that we might be carrying in our body. And that it's a good thing to let that process happen. And then on the other hand, we have people like Wim Hof.
Wim Hof.
And yes, Wim Hof, you know, the Iceman, sure, who encourages people to do things like sleep with ice packs. But then he's also teaching people very special yogic breathing processes to deal with these cold temperatures and to help the body to get rid of infections in that way. You know, we're all biochemically unique, and it appears that, you know, niacin is great for a lot of people, but not necessarily great for everybody. You know, I'm not certain. I seem to do really well with it. But if you have extremely low blood pressure, you might want to check your blood pressure before and after taking niacin just to make sure that your blood pressure is not dropping too low or just to see what happens with your blood pressure, and possibly using a pulse oximeter also to check that, and your heart rate as well. My body seems to love doing very high levels of niacin, and I continue to build my levels if it takes me more to flush. So up until this infection that I had in my throat showed up, I was doing 2,500 milligrams of actual niacin, not niacinamide, and I had built up to that slowly over time. There was one point for years at 50 milligrams and I would flush. So I would stay at 50. So we're all different, but you want to keep in mind that if the information I've been told is accurate, when you take niacin, you're, of course, bringing all of the circulation to the surface, and that's why you see this red, tingling, itching effect. You're supporting circulation, but you're supposedly also lysing fat cells, allowing toxins out of the body. So it's very beneficial to stimulate the release of toxins in other ways, like using a rebounder to upregulate your lymphatic system while you're actually flushing. I do a sauna, an infrared sauna, while I'm flushing. And I also do a coffee enema while I'm under the influence of the niacin. And all three of those things are really helpful in stimulating the release of toxins that may be being stored inside the fat cells. So that's how I personally use it. But you want to watch and see how you respond to this whole process. Go gentle and make sure that it's good for you. There are some things that Dr. Massey could probably speak to you about more accurately than I could about the effects of niacin that for some people can be challenging to the liver. That's why I love doing the coffee enema with it. Did you want to say something?
Go ahead. Doctor.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that, you know, from my perspective, that part of the brain that operates the heat center is never wrong. It always opens and closes the pupils of the eye at the right time. It always makes the body warm and cold at exactly the right time. Our task is to discover why that makes sense. So if my body's turning hot and sweating at night, that's the exact right thing for it to be doing to balance at that time. So how do I sort out how smart the body is and why? The things that I would try, I would drink a quart or two of salted water right before bed and just notice which direction that moves things. I like the idea of the detoxing in other ways. Whenever we're increasing temperature, the body's trying to heal more rapidly. So there's a wisdom there. And I'm sure there's something in the recall healing, some story. You know, you can just imagine some just very quickly, like somebody who was a soldier or in a prisoner of war camp who froze to death during their sleep. If I'm a descendant of that person, I'll turn hot at night on an anniversary of that, in memory of that story. And then when I recognize that story, my body won't turn hot at night anymore. So that'd be a quick, simple example.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Matt, you can, you know, you can, before you go to sleep, you can just ask to see maybe a past life of maybe what's going on with this. Maybe that's connected to that, like Dr. Massey was alluding to, and ask your teacher, your guides, whatever spiritual path you're on. And if you really want that, you know, a lot, you'll get it. It'll come. If you're, you know, available for it, you never know.
That's right. And if the sweat smells good, you could be looking for a partner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. I know that I read one time where Lance Armstrong and these guys that ride on these bicycles, you know, all day long, and they just get so heated up that they actually put these big ice packs on their neck at night so they could sleep. Because their body was so hot, you know, that it didn't want to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, that idea of doing a sauna during the day, because what you're doing in a way is you're honoring that heat process. Mm-hmm. So you're helping your body do what it's trying to do, which is to heat up. You know, so you're working with it, you're not working against it. So, you know, both of those things can be, you know, can work. It just depends upon, you have to look for your own self and see how those, you know, what happens for you.
Patrick Timpone, Meridian Grace, Dr. Richard Massey. It is June 29, 2017. Good to have you here. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Remind me to tell you about a dream I had with a gorilla last night. And it was a good, good dream and really, really fun. And I have it written down here, so I don't want to forget. Here's an email, though. This is from Susan in sunny Arizona. I'll say, I think the last time I checked, temperature was 115 in places in Arizona. Hi, guys. Love your energy. What can I do to support my adrenals? I'm 50 years female with fatigue, about 10 pounds overweight. I take iodine and basic minerals. Eat about 70% healthy diet, 70%. And, okay, that's what she wants to know, adrenals. She's got a question, too.
Yeah.
Doc, you know a lot about adrenals.
You know, I've had some wrestling with my own issues. I like Dr. Wilson's book as a place to start, so she can look up James Wilson and get one of his books and get some ideas. And he also sells supplements. If you can afford to, get your hormone levels checked, get your DHEA and cortisol levels checked. When people come in to see me who are tired, I give them a cortisol tablet. And in 30 minutes, we can tell if that was a good idea or not. And if their energy is better, that means their adrenals aren't making enough cortisol, which is the action hormone for daytime. So ways to support that. Well, the biggest way to support that is be on your true life path. We talked about the conflict of the sheep. Which is about the adrenal glands in biology. If a sheep wanders too far away from the flock to be called back in at night by their sonar that they send out at night, the adrenals will shut down in a moment of time so that that sheep cannot walk any further down the wrong path. And it makes them tired until the elder's sonar calls them back in at night. The adrenals hear that sonar and they wake back up instantly. So the brain turns the adrenals on and off on purpose. So if I'm going down a path that's not the true one for me, it'd be nice to get into a practice that helps us discern the proper path. On a physical level, make sure you have plenty of salt, especially like you're in a constant sauna there in Arizona. Remember, sweat has salt and water in it. It doesn't have just water. So drinking water in Arizona will make your adrenals worse, no matter who you are. Put salt in everything, your tea, your coffee, your water, your juice, every liquid you consume, put an amount of salt in there that tastes right for you.
You want to use a good salt though too, right, hon?
Oh, but Huggins would use that old stuff from HEB in the green box, you know, the canning and pickling salt.
Canning and pickling, but yeah, you could do all kinds of sea salts. There's some really nice ones out there, and Celtic salt, and you know, I like to do about four or five of them and just rotate. So, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. So I would start with that, and if that's enough, then great. And if it's not, start adding in some adaptogens like ashwagandha, ginseng, rhodiola, those kinds of things, and see if that's enough. Licorice is a great one if your blood pressure's low. Use real licorice, licorice tea or licorice tincture. Some people use over-the-counter hormones for a while. For women, it's pregnenolone and maybe a little bit of DHEA with it, and add a glandular with that. I like the multi-glandulars, the capsules or tablets that have hypothalamus, pituitary, thyroid, adrenal, and ovary for girls, and the same combination with testicle for guys. And take that at the same moment as the pregnenolone and the DHEA, and see what that does for you. And if that doesn't work, you pretty much have to get a prescription for cortisol itself, which should be over the counter, but it's not. And you can get the cortisol from a holistic physician, and it can change your life until you can find out what your true path is. Hmm. Once you find your true path, your brain will turn your adrenal gland back on.
So ginseng is a good one for adrenals, Doc?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a good adaptogen for adrenals. Now, there are adaptogens that are calming and adaptogens that are exciting. So if you're an overexcited, nervous Barney Fife kind of person, you might want something more like ashwagandha and schizandra. If you're a really tired person who feels like they could use a cup of coffee all the time, you want to go more with the ginseng type adaptogens.
And I also believe that the kind of ginseng has a big deal. Brandon Amalani, that we promoted ginseng, which is 50 years old. And they 50 years old, and they do it the authentic way, you all, with the Chinese medical docs, and they use sake to make it, and they do it as the phases of the moon. I mean, this is like far out stuff. And he said the ones they use, I forget which one it was, in this age, he said the older it is, the more common it is. So this is 50-year-old ginseng. If you'd like to try that, you can go on Shen Blossom. We can see an ad on the front page of One Radio Network and get 50-year-old ginseng. Yeah, it's really...
And it sounds like Susan and this ginseng may have the same birthday. Didn't she say she was 50?
Oh, that's right. Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, and I take it, and I'm, you know, I have to be careful about getting too excited. You know, I get excited, you know, when I see Nicole Kidman in the movie. So, you know, I got to be careful. yay! Okay. Anyway, so shit. Yeah. And so Brandon says this is really a nice soothing one, and I bought one from him, and I take it. And yeah, I don't get any jazzy things from it. So this is fun. So that's a good thing. So the salt's really interesting, especially she's out there where it's over 100 degrees in Arizona. So
it's huge. It's really huge in the summers. Yeah.
But then I saw on CNN where if you take too much salt, you got a heart attack. Oh, just kidding. Was that fake news?
The thing is, your body, no.
Was that fake news? No, that wasn't fake. What did they used to say that too much salt was? Blood pressure, right? That was the...
Yeah. And you know, and some people are sensitive that way. So, but you can watch that. You're smart enough to watch that.
Sure. Hey, you guys, I can't say your face anymore.
What's that? Oh, we had to move to the other room because our neighbor started mowing the
yard.
There
you go. There you go. Move your camera. Now I can see you. I was just looking at your belly. Not that I don't mind your belly, but you know, it's like.
Looking. Yeah, I have my feet up on the massage table.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so we have second question. This is about her husband. My husband has a rash that comes and goes, and it's itchy, but doesn't really last all that long. It just comes and goes. Seems to me, let's see if I can read the whole thing. Seems like most of the time will be in the evening, or he'll wake up with it. We first thought maybe allergic to detergent, soap, but that's not the case. Hard to narrow down to a food. He's using a systemic bind. I wonder if that is an herbs for the lymph system. What is it? What did you say, Marina?
It's a product that has charcoal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it also has a laxative in it as well as fulvic acid.
Okay, so this has been going on for 5 months, and he's just getting all rashy every night, and he's just not happy. So, boy, that's interesting how it could come every day, every night, you know? I wonder what time, Susan. Maybe we could narrow it down to the organ of the body or something. I don't know.
There's a new movie called It Comes at Night.
It comes at night.
I would look for a homeopathic remedy that matches those symptoms.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I would also, you know, if they're willing to do some diary work, you know, just write down what they're doing, how you feel during different times of the day, what you ate, how you felt before you ate, how you felt after you ate, and just kind of see if there's any kind of pattern that starts to evolve.
Yeah.
And there may be a certain food that he likes to eat at the, you know, a couple hours before this rash shows up.
Yeah.
You know, there just may be some kind of an unusual pattern. But typically, you know, Rich will talk to you about separation patterns that show up around the skin. And it depends upon what type of rash it is, if it's real red, if it's pussy, if it's got pustules, or if it's real dry, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, so the brain, in my world, the brain makes the rash on purpose, and it's trying to tell a story. The skin tells the story of separation. That's the story it tells. So I would look at what was going on that's the big separation right before this rash began. Was it about a job, a partner? Was it an anniversary of something that happened in the family tree with the separation? And I'm telling you, the skin is one of the fastest to heal when you find the separation story.
Really?
Oh, it can just disappear overnight.
Wow.
And if there's...
Go ahead.
If this rash is coming and going, you know, within a 24-hour period each day, you might want to look at what you're doing before the rash shows up, when it's showing up, and when it goes away. You know, there may be something, you know, if there's no rash when you're sleeping, there may be something about being close to your partner. And then when the partner's gone at work, I mean, who knows what it is for you specifically? The rash might show up.
Yeah, last night I was looking at my family tree, and I think a lot of my families used to live in a tree, my past families.
Well, the gorilla tree would suggest maybe that's true.
That's, right? It was. And one of these guys looked like Uncle Harry. Okay, so you want to hear my gorilla dream? This is cool, man. So
okay.
This was the last dream I had this morning. I was up pretty much all night last night.
Oh dear!
Oh no, no, it was no, it was great. No, I'm just doing a lot of stuff. I'm on a short leash. You can find me. I was up. It was just great. I was up all night writing and doing soul traveling and walking and around and just figuring, just like whoa. Anyway, but then I did sleep for about 2 hours, and then I woke up and. So there was this gorilla, and he was outside the cage, right? And he could have gone anywhere, and he walked in the cage. And I asked telepathically to whoever, whatever, you know, I was right there, I guess, with my spiritual teacher, gives me these dream experiences. That's what they do, my guy. I said, well, what's up with that? Why isn't he... Why'd he go in the cage? And what I got telepathically was that oftentimes soul would much rather go back into the old state of consciousness where it's comfortable and where they know and it's safe rather than go into a new state of consciousness where even though they're free, it's unknown and it's kind of scary.
Yeah. So how did you feel when you became aware of that?
Well, I mean, how did I feel? I just thought it was cool. And I think it's so true. And I think this is why most souls have a hard time with getting well, is because it's easier just to go back in to say, you know, whatever. I've got this, I've got that, and I need to do something. And rather than to have the idea that maybe all they have to do is go the other way and say, my body's healing and it's going to be fine. You know what I'm saying? It's just easier to go backwards to an old state of consciousness.
So, yeah. And so I would look at the other polarity of that as well for me, just to see the other side of that. I agree with what you're saying. And it sounds pretty powerful. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of. The gorilla is the real Patrick, and all the biological strength that's in the real Patrick. So I take that as a good sign about your vitality, that you would have this dream about something as strong as a gorilla. If Matt Kahn's take on it is correct, all of us come in and incarnate in a prison called a family. And we do that to take on the vibration of what's going on the planet. And through our lifetime, anything that we do raises the vibration for our families and the planet. And sometimes we go back to that cage called the family pod and pick up a little more of that old vibration that was carried in the family. And then we resolve a piece of that for ourselves and for others. And then we walk back out of the cage. So I think that pattern can also apply in general. Yeah, but your dream is your dream. So I like what you came up with.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't come up with that. That's what I was.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird stuff.
Fun. Dallas writes in, my dad just had a complete knee replacement surgery 2 days ago. Is there anything we can do to accelerate the healing of that? And is there anything we can do to take to help rebuild cartilage in the other knee so he does not have to have this again? Whoa. Yep. Yeah. So knee replacement surgery. There's a lot of that going on, y'all. They do it in the knees. They do it in the hips. Right? So if you have done one, you guys have some ideas of what they can do to help the body accept that? And
so, yeah, the two choices, of course, with healing, as we talked about earlier, is if healing is too painful, we can take medicine that will slow down the rate of the healing, or we can support that process. So if they want to support that process, I would make sure you're on a good nutritional program, get way more nutrients than you think you need. And if it's an older person and they're not on bioidentical hormones and it's a male without prostate issues, you know, I would take at least 50 milligrams of DHEA per day and a multi-glandular along with a good multivitamin, good healthy foods. And those things can be really useful. Meridian would probably suggest adding collagen to whatever you're drinking in the morning, just because that's so good for connective tissues and cartilage and things like that. And the brain tells stories about value and power through the joints. So if the joints could speak in English, they would tell personal stories of how I value myself, how I see the amount of power I have, and also how my family values me and how they see me as powerful or weak. The knee is about forced obedience to something that I don't want to kneel to. That's one of the choices. The knee is also the thing that goes first. If you look at a side profile of a person when they walk into their life, the knee leads the way. So there are all kinds of stories that have to do with the knee. And when you find the one that resonates and get at that sense of devaluation, where does this person feel like they've lost their value or have low value in the family? And because that's what eats away at the cartilage.
I would look at the homeopathic remedy rutabaga gravis, which really helps with the periosteum of the bone.
I beg your pardon. You can't say that on the radio, that word. The what of the bone, sweetie? Periosteum.
Yeah, it's a coating that's on top of the bones,
wow,
and they become very inflamed and painful.
Wow.
So rutabaga gravis is wonderful for that. I would also do arnica, and I'm talking about internally. That I would use these. And, you know, if there's a lot of nerve pain, if there was any nerve that was involved in this process, Hypericum, which is a homeopathic of St. John's wort. And I like using lasers. And I think they're very, very helpful. And the almost imperceptible red laser is able to penetrate the bone and really support bone healing. So I would consider that. You know, these days they're not actually making large incisions. So if there is no large incision, there's nothing to worry about as far as wound healing goes. But blue lasers happen to be very good for wound healing. So I would work with those. And definitely, you know, the getting those hormones strong enough so that you have the energy to support the healing, as Dr. Massey was talking about, is really helpful. Some people do better, you know, being supported with that with homeopathics for their hormones, and other people, the majority, I think, probably do really well with the physical hormone support. So there's both of those. And then I like looking into a specific type of an herbal preparation called a gemotherapy, which is made from the life force aspects of a plant. And anything that's going to be made from the young shoot gathered in spring has a very direct relationship on the musculoskeletal system. So we might want to look for specific healing trees that where they've gathered and made the remedy from the particular, from the shoots, the young shoots, rather than the blossoms or the buds or the sap.
And on another physical issue, Patrick, I had torn cartilage in my left knee and had surgery, and the surgeon admitted that he took out too much cartilage and I'd probably have problems for the rest of my life. And I injected ozone into the joint and the cartilage regrew.
Wow.
So on the other knee, you can get simple ozone injections, and they can help regrow the cartilage in there. They call the stem cells down into the knee. That's what they do. For topical, after you take a shower and clean off the skin of your knee, you can apply creams that have things like glucosamine and CMO and chondroitin and MSM and rub them in with DMSO so that they penetrate down to where the cartilage is. So that's also topical things you can do for that good knee.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those are wonderful.
When you said that, it reminded me of Beagleson, and because you've done this work, he mentioned again that he thought, you know, scars are a big deal, you know, to take care of, you know, as Dr. Marshall, the late Dr. Marshall used to talk about for years, right? Sure. Using, you know, yeah, using the different clays, yeah, and stuff.
Wait at least 2 weeks after the surgery.
Yeah. And Dr. Beagleson suggested that we all have a scar that we need to deal with, and that's the belly button.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
It's a big.
Yeah. Because he talked about, again, how the doctors like to keep things tidy, you know, and they pull this, the belly button. So and they want to make it nice and tight, and how it keeps people from breathing really well, you know, because they, and because out there in, yeah, the wild, you know, out there in the wild, we used to just cut that belly button off, what it was about, meridian, about a foot or so, and then it would just kind of hang there for a while until it would fall off, right? And we didn't make it look good.
I got even more intense than most. There's a process.
No, you? No, I can't imagine that you did that.
Yeah. So I literally.
That's right. Like, well, that's a thing of me being born, but, you know.
Somebody cut off someone's umbilical.
I think I have some birth trauma I need to deal with here. I think.
I didn't cut my son's umbilical cord. I literally carried around his placenta until his cord fell off by itself.
Really?
Oh, yeah, a few days. Oh, look at that little baby.
Oh, that's so good. I wish I was there when you did that, Marie. Do you have film?
Reminds me of nursing. It's been a long time ago.
That's great. Did I tell you a story about, I could tell you a story. It's just, it's a downer. I don't want to do that. Hi, Dr. Massey and Meridian Grace. Love you all. What are ways to dissolve gallstones? Plenty of ways to thin bile and get it moving. But what about the existing stones? Stones, yeah.
Existing stones,
well, we had a story of a fellow who sent me. We had a fellow who sent me some stones, pictures. I love it when people send me stuff that comes out of their butt. It's just so exciting to see that in my inbox. And he did. He showed, but you know what he did? He just drank 4 ounces of pure castor oil with a little bit of turpentine, just like a teaspoon of turpentine. You know, the real, yeah, and 4 ounces of castor oil. And that puppy came right out because he was having real pain. Just came pop right out.
All right.
Yeah, so that sounds like a Jennifer Daniels
that was,
process.
Yeah. And he did it and sent a picture. He was so excited. He was so proud of it.
Yeah. The one that's been used for many years, and, you know, Jennifer's, I haven't used it. I should try it. I will. But one of the primary ones that's been used forever is a combination of olive oil and lemon juice.
Yeah.
And when I've done this work with myself and probably at least a few hundred people, and I've done it many times because I would do it oftentimes with a group of my people that I was working with. And we would spend at least 3 weeks softening stones.
Uh-huh.
And we would use things like phosphoric acid and malic acid. In the past, many people would drink as much as half a gallon a day of apple juice, but the sugar levels my body could not handle. Even when I was doing lots of fruit, that was just way too much sugar for me, is in that all that juice. And the aspect that they were looking for was the malic acid. So we would build up on malic acid tablets and phosphoric acid, which I always would blend with a little lemon juice and water to make it taste better. And we would do that for as much as, you know, depending upon the person, if they were known to have large stones, we might do it for a couple of months before doing the actual,
wow.
It's called the purge. And then the purge would be basically not eating during the day, taking some Epsom salts and water, which I would hold my nose and add a little lemon juice to also, because that stuff tastes awful. And after we would do that, we'd wait a couple of hours and we would drink this large amount of olive oil and lemon juice or grape. Or I'd take a grapefruit and put that in the blender with the olive oil and then curl up on your right side in fetal position and go to sleep. And sometimes we would use a homeopathic remedy called Nox Vomica if you had any cramping. And typically the next morning we would do a coffee enema in the morning, and there would be just this huge release of stones. We also did a coffee enema before we did the Epsom salts.
What fun!
So I have that one all written down. If somebody, you know, people are interested
good. Yeah. So we always put meridians and all the contact information on the show page when we post the podcast about an hour from now. So you guys will have all that information.
And I think there's a stone, yeah, and thank you for doing that. And I think there's a Stonebreaker tea, right, Patrick? That Chanca de Piedra.
Chanca Piedra stuff, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And I also
drink that. And
I carry it from Ray Tree.
And remember that the gallbladder is the organ that tells the story of grudges.
Grudges.
Mm-hmm. So you can find out, you know, what grudges are going on and do a resentment list. The thing that makes the bile flow faster is having plenty of acid come out of the stomach. If I'm not making enough stomach acid and I start taking some during my meals and my poop turns darker, that means that more bile is coming out. The paler the poop is, the less bile is coming out. So you can watch the color of your poop and tell if what you're doing is helping or not. So when you get the bile to flow faster, it doesn't form stones so readily.
Mm-hmm.
The second factor is how much fat I'm eating. So if I eat more fat, there's more bile. If I have more stomach acid coming out of the stomach, there's more bile. So look for nice dark poop.
And people like Natasha Campbell McBride feel like one of the best things you can do to upregulate your liver is to do coffee enemas, but to also make a drink. She calls it the GAPS milkshake.
Hmm.
And she said one of the biggest problems people have with their gallbladder is they're not getting enough fat. And so she has them take a raw egg and either sour cream or kefir from raw milk, ideally from raw cream, and some fresh squeezed green drink, and blend those up in the blender and drink it. And it's surprisingly good tasting. And if you have, you know, if you want it to be sweeter, you could add some green leaf stevia if you want to. And if you're dealing with children, you could, you know, use a little bit of fruit juice in there also to make it more tasty for them.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm reminded about a Texas doctor. I believe his name was James Brenneman. And he took 99 consecutive people, tested them, and got them off all their food allergies. These were all people with gallbladder attacks. and every single one of them were free of gallbladder attacks when they got off their allergic food.
Wow.
Now, interestingly, food allergies are about issues with parents because parents are our first food. And typically we pick up our resentment patterns when we're in the womb, and we learn those from our parents and their family. So it goes right back to the gallbladder.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about the relationship of all that and issues with childbirth and Tom O'Brien's work, finding a really strong correlation with food allergies and gluten, and in his case, dairy also, in helping many people get pregnant when they weren't able to before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's, boy, you flush these babies out and some things happen. We've had Dr. Sutter on the show. And he was poisoned with ancient orange. You remember? Came back from Vietnam. He was on his literally on his deathbed, and he did these flushes probably every other day for a couple years, and got pounds of stuff out, pounds of literal. And he would do it with Coca-Cola.
Yes, I remember that Coca-Cola cleanse.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
But it's olive oil and Coca-Cola.
So we're going to try to get the local movie theater to put a booth aside for people who are doing cleanses when they drink those gigantic Cokes. And you can go to the movies and get rid of your gallstones at the same time. I like that idea.
Yeah, that's right, Meridian. It was. And he would just do the olive oil and Coke and just rock and roll. You know, he just did it over and over and just got pounds of stuff out. Just crazy.
Yeah. No, I actually did try that Coca-Cola.
Did you really?
To get the real thing, the Mexican Coca-Cola that had the real cola in it.
Right.
There's supposed to be aspects in there that are really good for the stomach from the old-fashioned, you know, real Coca-Cola, which we don't get in the United States without bringing it in from Mexico.
They used to use stevia in Mexico in the real Coke to sweeten it, but I don't think they do anymore. I think it's all high fructose corn syrup now. You know, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I think they use real sugar in Mexico.
What's that?
Right. I think they use, in the original formula, I think they're using real sugar, not fructose.
Right. Okay, we're going to do a little quick little break here. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com, Open Phone Friday tomorrow. And we'll solve all the world's problems, so stick around. Previously on Open Phones with Sharon and Patrick, a lady called in and said,
The sulfur. I've probably been taking it for a year. My functional medicine doctor didn't want me to take it. And finally, one day I said, screw it, I'm going to take it. And I'm so glad I did, because it gave me energy, which is what I was wanting. But the thing it did it did a lot of things, but the two things are energy and the other thing, which a woman called in months ago, and that's why I wanted to report this, because it was so amazing. I was taking 11 glutathione recycler pills that are really good for chemical sensitivities, because I'm severely chemical sensitive. So that was working, but 11 pills was a lot. And when I started taking sulfur, I was able to reduce to 3. Now I take 3 a day of glutathione recycler and the sulfur. And it's helped my chemical sensitivities major.
That's great.
That is cool. You can order sulfur right now. 3 prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide. And also, if you want more than 4 pounds for family and friends, or just a better price because we give you a discount, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. But you can click away if you'd like and order right now. You certainly can. A friend of mine who's been taking sulfur and loves it for a couple years, she decided to put a bowl out as we recommend for her dog. And because we recommend, you know, a lot of people ask if you can give sulfur to your pets. And we recommend that you put a separate bowl with sulfur in it in the regular water. And if they need some sulfur, they'll just drink the sulfur one. So you don't have to figure it out. If they don't want it, they don't need it, they won't drink it. I put it out for Doodle, and most of the time she doesn't drink. And every now and then she'll take a little slip of it. She says, oh, I could use a little. So they're smart. You know, they get it. They know just by the smell. Well, the funny with this little dog, he weighs about 20 pounds. He doesn't want anything but sulfur water now. And this has been going on for about a month. So I don't know what's going on with it, but his hair is she said his hair is better, nicer, smoother. and he's got more energy and he's just having a good time with it. Isn't that curious, guys, how that could work?
Yes.
Isn't that just fascinating? You hear those stories. It's like, wow, you know. And but I wouldn't give it to the pet just to give it to him because you think it's good for them. You know, give him a choice. You know, give him a choice because that way, you know.
You can do it with your colostrum too.
You can do the same thing. That's right. Yeah. And if they need it, they're gonna eat it. You know, you could also do the same thing with your girlfriend, right? You know, just putting food out. You know, and if, you
yes,
know, if she goes yes, for the pizza, you know what you got going on. You know, I'm.
Yes.
Yes. Know the source.
Hi, dear. You want some pizza?
One Radio Network.
Oh. Wow. Speaking of dogs and cats and stuff. Oh. I love this song.
Bless the beast and the children. For in this world they have no voice. They have no choice. Bless the beast and the children, for the world can never be. The world they see.
Okay, it is a couple of minutes before the hour. We'll stick around a little while longer. You guys okay for a few more minutes? Can you stick around?
Yeah.
Okay. I play that song because I saw a really interesting documentary the other night. Trying to find the name of it right now, and I will. And they have... there's this attorney that had such a thing for animals. He's dedicated his life to through the courts get animals to be classified legally as persons, you know, so they can't be property. So you can't cage them up and stuff, and just because you own them, you know, because they're not property. There's a place out in one of the states out in on the left coast there, they've done this, and so this video, I've invited him on the show. I have to look at my my history in Netflix to get you the name of it. But it was really cool. And he went through court after court after court to get a couple of apes that were being used in experiments, you know, to be freed. Yeah, and wow. And they had the cameras in the courtroom, you know. And the questions the judges asked, and it was really, really interesting. His name is Wise, and so now he's working on elephants, you know.
Yeah, it reminds me of your dream.
And I think that's why I had the gorilla dream too, because I was been thinking about the whole the gorilla thing, you know. That's why that's why that came up for me also on the...
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
I step outside and work on the car for 5 minutes, so I'm going to leave you and Meridian in charge, and I'll be back.
Oh, God. We're in such trouble now.
They need an assistant surgeon out there.
I see. All right. Well, put on your mask and be right back to be able to say goodbye. Okay. Here you go, Meridian. Let's see. Here's one for you.
Okay.
Lisa, she's in Louisiana. Could some of you, Patrick, Dr. Meridian, or whoever, I need some feedback. Meridian, she has thinning hair, 47-year-old female, a little bit overweight, tired a lot. My hair has progressively gotten thinner in the past 15 years, especially in the part line. I hate it. I just hate it. And I envy women who have long, thick hair. From Lisa. So you're a girl, Meridian. You know what to tell her, right? What kind of ideas do you have?
You know, the big one for many people is to look at the adrenals, the adrenal health and the thyroid health. Oftentimes, if you're seeing a thinning of the outer edges of the eyebrows along with the hair, we're also looking at thyroid. And typically, a big change as far as energy goes, if there's tiredness, if there's depression, moodiness, coldness, where the feet are cold, the hands are cold, there's a very strong likelihood then that the issue is thyroid. For many of us, though, it could also be an aspect of some form of malnutrition. And it's really important to get the good fats and the B vitamins. Biotin is particularly beneficial for the hair. So that's a B vitamin, and your B vitamins are naturally found more in, these type of vitamins are found more in meat products. So grass-fed meat, small amounts of that can be very, very helpful. Then there are certain herbs that have been said to be good for this. And I would also always look at homeopathy to take a look at symptoms that go along with the hair loss that she might be having. At this age, she may be in what we call perimenopause. And if she finds that she's tired a lot but feels great if she dances and still loves to dance, and that dancing really lifts her spirits, it's a sign of a homeopathic remedy called sepia. And sepia is very common for hair loss around perimenopause and the beginning of menopause. So sepia may be a remedy that's worth exploring for her. And those are just a few ideas.
Yeah, good job. A couple things that we've been, since we're doing the great Natural Hair Color Restore project here with the having the gray turn into natural color for myself and others. We've been really looking at this. Black sesame seeds is a really, really nice thing for the hair. And so we could send this lady to our website and get some of the black sesame seed oil that has got no oxidation in Myron glass. And you could take, I would take this every day. You can just Google black sesame seed oil or black sesame seeds. Of course, the oil is a really potent way to do it. And it's in many of the Ayurveda hair formulas. It's like the one or two ingredient in Ayurveda hair formulas is sesame seeds. What's that one? Bring Raj, Meridian?
Bring Raj and Rami oil.
Yeah, that's the number. Yeah, that's the number one. My Ayurvedic doc recommended something, and I see if I can find it on Amazon.
While you're looking for that, Patrick, I wanted to say that I've actually used a little black oil rubbed into the scalp as well.
Yeah, I bet you could, right? Yeah.
Just like you do with the Brahmi and the Bring Raj, and those have been very helpful. And let's see. I mean, you always want to look at your hormones. Estrogen, progesterone levels can also have something to do, as well as the thyroid, with hair loss.
But you say it's common around perimenopause time to lose some hair.
Mm-hmm. Perimenopause and menopause themselves. Mm-hmm. So those are the hormonal aspects, the
the thyroid and the estrogen progesterone levels. And then there's a really beautiful piece, I'm sure Rich just came back, so he might want to talk to you about, that has to do with certain animals will actually pull out their hair to create a nest. And so feeling of the loss of the nest or the loss of the ability to be able to have babies might have something to do with that too. But wow. Let's let Rich go after that.
No, that's okay. Y'all go ahead.
Kind of like when your mom pulls her hair out or something like that, right? Because for kids.
Created with you. No, it's a little different than that. It's actually nesting.
I'm sure Patrick is a sedate, peaceful child.
I would never do that to my mom.
Your mom was never wanting to pull her hair out.
No. Not with Patrick. No. Could you imagine my mom did seven kids? It's like, really?
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Rich and I were commiserating about one of my ancestors who had 13 children, like probably 200 years ago. And her last one was when she was 60.
Wow.
Just amazing.
Amazing.
Without electricity, without refrigerators. I mean, my God. Just like, whew.
Yeah. To this lady also, there's a company. It's a great company. I'm ready. You know these guys too. I think you know the owner or something, don't you? Of Herbs Forever?
Oh, yeah, they're wonderful.
Cool. Great company. Yeah. My Ayurvedic doctor recommended a product from them called, I think it's called Hair Care. And the first ingredient is the Bring Raj, and the second ingredient is the sesame seed. So, So it's a nice product. I've been taking some of that. So, and you can get that on Amazon. It's just for Herbs Forever Hair Care. And
sesame oil, they say, is one of the best anti-vata herbs for reducing dryness and aging. I mean, the vata time of life is the last part of our life. So
vata.
That to youthen the follicles, I would imagine.
Nothing like youthen follicles, Hey, follicles, youthen up, will you? Just get a life. Just something. Yeah, that's good. Okay, a couple more.
Really powerful, though. I love that idea of suggesting black seed oil, and I would use a very tiny amount, perhaps mixed with your other hair oils, and rub it in really well at night, and if you have some type of a cap, to keep the warmth in, and then in the morning shower and wash your hair, and doing that daily for a few months could make a huge difference.
I bet so. Could you ask Dr. Massey and Meridian to talk about the mouth? Okay. Lately I've woken up with a swollen tongue. Huh. Little white sores on the tip of my tongue. Other days I have a very dry mouth, even though I've increased my water intake, my diet is or supplements haven't changed. The weather here has been warmer from Carol. So the tongue is telling her something, right? Something's going on. Swollen tongue. What would that be in the body, you guys? There's got to be some Chinese medicine thing with swollen tongue, right?
It is, yeah. Dr. Chi would typically say that it's a damp spleen. But
a damp spleen? I know when that happens.
Like damp Yankees.
It's like oh, my damn spleen. Oh, my damn spleen, I see.
Damp. There's a P at the end there,
okay.
Patrick.
All right, well, it's a damp spleen. I didn't know it was.
Yeah, but that's really only the case if you can see teeth marks, kind of like ruffles on the outside of the tongue, if it's that kind of swollen.
Yeah.
Sometimes the swelling is thickness, as far as the tongue's typical thickness, it can get much, higher, taller, thicker that way. So it kind of depends upon where the thickness is. And typically those if they're painful little spots on the tongue, and I'm not sure if she's talking about aphthous ulcers or not, but oftentimes it's like a little allergic response to something. So she might want to look at what she's eating.
I used to know the thing, a tip of the tongue, something with the heart. I think it's the heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tip of the tongue, yeah.
It's
or it's a heart. Uh-huh. So it depends upon where the swelling is. You know, the little ulcers could be on the tongue itself, but if it's not red, it's typically not a heart issue. It could just be an allergic issue.
Oh, okay. Also for Carolyn, this is good too on the hair. Let's go back a second. Adam Bergstrom has a couple of videos on YouTube, and you can just Google Adam, well, on YouTube, go Adam Bergstrom, and he explains how to do the nail flicking for hair growth. Have you guys heard about nail flicking?
Nope.
Okay, so can you see me?
Uh-huh.
See this? So you got this hand, right? And you do it every second, like this. And if you go on YouTube and just put in nail flicking, you have all these yogis in India, and they got about 12 pounds of dark hair, you know? Maybe they just dyed it. Maybe they just dyed it for the video. But anyway, they do it a different way. They do this, guys. They do this, right? And you're supposed to do it for 10 minutes every day and to grow hair and to turn your hair a natural color. So Adam Bergstrom says that his teacher told him years ago that was not quite the best way. Of course, it's hard to argue with a guy with 15 pounds of black hair on his head. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? So he says you do it this way, and you guys can look at the video if you want. And you know what he says the reason it works? And this is interesting, that it stimulates our own stem cells.
Whoa.
Wouldn't it be cool that you can get a stem cell, you know, implant thing for nothing just by doing this every day? So I've been doing this every day, like this.
And okay. The tips of the fingers are all, you know, major, what they call spring points of your acupuncture.
Oh, yeah. Meridian. Oh, sure. Right, Meridian. You're right. So you're getting the whole body like this. And then he said you should do the thumb, too, like this. And again, on YouTube, all the people are doing this. But he suggests once every second is more powerful. And it stimulates the stem cells. So
put your hands up a little higher so we can see what you're doing with your
hands. Oh, can you see it now?
Now I can.
Okay.
Is this right?
So Adam is saying on this, on the video, is how to do it, right? So you're doing the right hand just on the root there, Meridian, you know, just, you get pretty good at it. And then if you go on YouTube, though, all the yogis are doing this, you know, they're doing it this way. But he said his teacher told him many years ago that was not the best way, that this was the most effective way this way. Isn't that cool? So you could do this when you're watching a movie or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that pretty cool? Stimulate your stem cells. So, so and you can go on YouTube and see that video. Just Google Adam Bergstrom, and they'll show you how to do that. What fun.
Adam Bergstrom hair growth?
I would just do Adam Bergstrom. I don't think he has a lot of them.